Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. Yes, this is the one podcast where every single thing we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, I'm literally off script. No script in front of me, and the topic is entering into presence, feeling present. It's one of the experiences that, because we don't experience that enough as men in the modern world, as I say, in a profoundly sick society that has indoctrinated us that our greatest value, if not by the conditioning, our only value is to get to go out into the world and get shit done, to be productive in your job, to be a profit-making machine for your company, your organization, to get shit done, make profits. It's an external mission. From old days, 150 years ago, industrial revolution that spread around the planet, which ripped men en masse from the land, from the heart of home, from where men and women, masculine and feminine, was there. It mightn't have been ideal, but there was a balance that was handed down generation to generation. That was ripped out of us, and we were put to the mines, we were put to the factories. Not we, our predecessors, the men in our masculine lineage, our predecessors, they were ripped out en masse to the point at which, you know, a century and a half later, we can forget what traumatic experience that must have been for those generations of men. And this was followed up, you know, it's not so long after that where en masse millions of men, well, did they volunteer? They had to go to the war. They were enlisted in world wars and Vietnam and multiple different battles around the planet, and lives lost en masse. So for many, many different reasons, and some more obvious than others, the male psyche has learned that the greatest badge of honor to be of worth as a man in society is shut the fuck up, lone wolf, don't complain, start learning how to get from A to B out in the world. And yet, you know, that's the progress part of leadership. I spoke to this before. It's a profoundly beautiful part of our gift that we can bring to marriage. You know, get shit done. Get from A to B. Notice what's not right, what's not optimized, what's just downright dysfunctional at point A. You're now in your home, in your marriage, in the parenting, in shit that's going on. And notice that there's another point B, and it would be nice to get there. Notice problem point A. Conjure up the solution point B. And get at it. It's a profound masculine gift, yet we forget that the inner world experience of presence, of being in our body now, is actually at the heart of feeling alive. Merely this topic, and note, if you're like one of the many long-term followers, you're avidly listening in, notice how your nervous system responds to this episode. Notice if there's a discomfort. Notice if in the background there's like a hunger of, you know, maybe it'll even come up explicitly in thoughts of, oh, for fuck's sake, Mark, or, you know, God, this isn't my type of episode. I like it when he talks, you know, oh, the five simple steps to, you know, master sex in bed, the three simple steps to be a great communicator. You know, the one secret behind, you know, there's all of these hook point topics. And just notice, get present with how you're relating with the introduction to this episode. Oh, fuck, it's about presence, it's about coming home, it's about being in my body, it's about being here now. Is there a part of your nervous system that's like, get the fuck out of here, you know, like, let's just press stop, go to the next episode? And hey, if that's the choice, if that's an impulse, and if you trust that to be true and to be of greatest value, and maybe you've already clicked out. But I honor that experience, and I invite you to honor that awareness inside of you. Maybe at the flip side, hey, maybe some of you are passionately curious to know more. Maybe you're already home with, yeah, presence is something important and you're curious and maybe all in between. But part of presence is honoring where your nervous system is at. Really honoring where your nervous system is at, where your body's at in the present moment. I would speak that this is a rare, rare, rare inner world experience and way of relating with oneself in the world for men. In all my years in men's work and now in Heroic Husbands, the men's circles, men from around the world joining in there on a weekly basis or three times a month, and there's a week off and one-on-one clients. I haven't yet met one husband around the planet that is experiencing a struggle in marriage and has a regular daily felt experience of being comfortable and completely at one with his bodily inner world experience in his nervous system, in his mind, being at one with it. We more often than not, as a result of not being comfortable with it, we seek for, at the first point of feeling a discomfort, consciously or subconsciously in our bodies, we reach for the phone. Joey Odom, there recent guest about smartphone usage, is like 89% of smartphone usage is self-directed, it's self-initiated. The first feeling of boredom, the first feeling of anger, the first feeling of frustration, the first feeling of anything that is not like, oh, I'm feeling good, we reach for distraction. Some of you, maybe all of you, reach for the phone. How many times do you reach for a bottle of beer, a glass of wine in your evenings? Living in a deep, intimate relationship long term, it's fucking hard, it's intense. What if you don't perceive you have what it takes, or your best seems like it's never enough, and you're still showing up in the octagon of marriage and parent, responsibilities, your queen is giving you feedback. It's a tough, intense arena. But when those emotions come up, part of you tries to sedate. Does that happen with you? Let's get honest. This has happened to me countless times in many different ways. Many, many different ways where I would numb. Do you numb by getting busy? Again, A to B, get shit done. Oh, I'm tidying up around the house. And hey, you try to correct and fix your marriage and, course correct in your marital journey. Your queen is giving you feedback. Things aren't really great, but here, baby, I'm going to quadruple down and I do extra stuff with the kids. I do extra stuff tidying up, washing up the dishes. I do extra stuff of household chores. I'm doing so much extra stuff. Why is she still unhappy? Because you're not present. Bottom line, guys, not being present. And in the profoundly sick society, we had no training. We didn't have embodied masculine presence modeled for us by our dads, by our stepdads, by our uncles, by the people in the neighborhood. There was a lot of go get at it, do sports, which is the essence in societal terms of masculine expression. Oh, the highest warrior. Yeah, it's all about A to B in many senses. The greats in peak performance are brilliant at presence, by the way. Excuse me, I want to be present, funnily enough, in myself to note that my throat is feeling a bit tickly. You'll hear me cough. I'm not going to edit that shit out because it's real in my human experience today. It's not to excuse, but to explain. I've actually done a lot of anger release with one-on-one clients and just had Heroic Husbands Men's Circle, the Wednesday group, and there was getting in contact with anger and that primal energy, so there was. There's a bit of growling and a bit of raised voice sort of practices, which guys find exhilarating. So my voice is sort of feeling a little bit of the strain of that. I communicate that because why? In the moment, what presence is having full love and acceptance of where your nervous system is at, where your body is at, and consciously knowing that in that moment you're transmitting a message, and I'm transmitting a message that is evoking a response from you, from your nervous system, consciously and subconsciously. If I don't over communicate awareness of the cough, there's a part of you going, what the fuck? maybe not trusting it, maybe feeling a discomfort, maybe not, but presence is being aware of everything that's happening in your nervous system and being at one with that. And unapologetically, the practice is to over-communicate that with who you're communicating, who you're having a conversation with. And I'm having a conversation with you, sort of in a way, as I say, energetically, I like to think of it that way. In Heroic Husbands, men's circles, and with my one-on-one guys, and the results are pretty phenomenal. The transformations, like, hats off to the guys that are in there. They're doing phenomenal inner work. There's a key foundation of the transformation that the guys are experiencing is based on the five pillars of presence. The contralateral part of that is the five pillars of heart closure. It's sort of when you become aware of heart closure, well, that's the opposite of presence. And like you can, it's the two sides of the one coin. In this episode here, I want to invite you, those of you that are still staying on, you know, maybe you're the passionate curiosity, you're game balled for this experience, this self-inquiry sort of inner journey, rather, you know, beyond an informational part. There is tons of information here, by the way, to satisfy that part as well. But you're wanting and yearning and open to having a bit more of a mind, becoming mindful of your nervous system in this moment. Experience, you're very welcome to it, and I acknowledge you sticking with this, which might be an atypical episode, but a very important one, because presence, embodied consciousness, which is also known as presence, is what your queen yearns the most. And I would say it's actually deep down what you're yearning the most. You just haven't been in a group of men that puts that as like a front and center deep desire. The masculine yearning in our lived experience is embodied freedom, radical freedom from obstacle, from, you know, just to be totally free. To be totally free of constraint, and presence is that. Presence is the deepest inner world experience of a radical freedom of constraint. We, again, from social conditioning, we've been conditioned to search a radical freedom of expression by, you know, dominating the entrepreneurial world, making like radical financial freedom, radical physical freedom by, you know, endurance racing, testing your limits in sport, in athletics, your mission in the world, spreading your message. It's an externalized expression of that freedom, which is an important part. Don't get me wrong. That's a beautiful part. Yet from the deepest level, without inner world presence, everything that is achieved on the outside ain't worth shit. I want to point to, there's many different examples of this. Like there are, you'll all in your own communities, you know, no matter where you are in the world, I imagine that you have all heard sort of like super famous celebrities who reached the top of the music industry, reached the top of the, you know, the movie industry, were rich, were famous, mastered their craft, were experiencing adoration, you know, celebration from their peers, from the world, the fans, and they commit suicide. Or they experience like massive problems with drugs and alcohol, because why? It didn't matter what they experience in progress in externalized masculine freedom on the outside. And it's not exclusive to men, but let's just focus on men because that's the paradigm, the inner world paradigm where most guys, I imagine, listening in are coming from. There's a part of it that's just not enough. And it's when we go, our only expression is searching embodied freedom as men in our marriage, in our parenting, in the external world, and we normally don't, we avoid the embodied freedom external journey in marriage because, hey, we don't know what presence is about, and thus we come up short again and again and again, no matter what progress we embody, tidying around the house, doing all the shit, doing all the chores, it's not enough for our queens because we're lacking presence. So the five pillars of presence is essential. It's what I would say is I managed to codify presence. I spoke to this before, but I want a more experiential journey to invite you on an experiential journey and maybe directly challenge you to surrender into this with beginner's mindset. Like there's just like you've no conceptual awareness, you've no ideas, no preconceptions, and of course you do have them, but you park them on the shelf. You go, okay, I'm going to go for this experience and see what happens. Let's do a self-inquiry of where your nervous system is at with with regards to five pillars right now. To do this, hey, you might, if it's available to you, if you can sit and be still, or maybe some of you, if it's available in your environment as appropriate to it, you can lie down and go really deep into it. And other guys, trust and practice self-leadership in appropriate with the activity that you're doing. And I'm going to asterisk all of that shit. Like I've laughed before, if you're an air traffic controller, don't close your fucking eyes and maybe don't be doing the practice. If you're a bus driver, etc., listening in ears, practice with caution appropriate to the activity you're doing. But I feel for most of you, even if you're walking or you're going for a jog, you can still bring an awareness to this as you keep awareness on your environment and what you're needing to get done. So trusting that you're mature enough and wise enough to do it in a case appropriate way. I invite you to, no matter where your context is now, if you're walking, if you're sitting, you're doing your activity, you might even with jogging, you could be doing that or cycling. It's like if that's where you're digesting this experience, experiencing, listening in, the first pillar of presence is stillness. And stillness is the main, there's, it can go super deep on this, but the most basic and important foundation of stillness is breath awareness. Peak performers that become, like there's a ton and there's more and more, it's like peak performers are reaching to breath work to be an incredible support to get them completely present and still. So no matter what the external and perceived pressures are, the expectations, the lights, the arena, the supporters, the media circus that surrounds them, the other opponents trying to psych them out, they're still. Great performers have learned that breath is an incredible entry point to that. So this is not a breathwork practice. I want this to be like a mindful awareness, self-inquiry journey of in this moment now, no matter where you're listening to this, I want to invite you to become aware of how your quality of breathing is. And I don't mean good or bad. It's sort of like, what's the flavor of that experience in this moment? Are you breathing in a slow, deep, relaxed manner where your chest expands enough and your tummy expands? And boy, you even get breathing down and you feel a pressure at the bottom of your perineum, your pelvic floor muscles down near your genitals, that your breath is slow and that profoundly deep, that it expands all of that area. It's like your breath energy goes down the whole front. Or is it a bit more the opposite end, where it's sort of high in the chest? It's the top apices of your lungs that are breathing, very high and maybe more rapid, slow, superficial breathing, or something in between. And as you're breathing there, always keeping your eyes open, and hey, if your context allows it, I'm keeping this fluid and allowable and safe for every person to join it. If the context allows it, close your eyes. If the context is safe for you to do so, you can close your eyes. But whatever your context is, become aware. What's the feeling? What's the physical feeling of breathing? The muscles moving, maybe joints. Are the muscles relaxed, or do you feel like a block there? And underneath that, what's the energetic of it? How are you feeling with that breath? We'll go to state later on in this, but for now, simply and awesomely and profoundly, become aware of your relationship, this experience of your breath, coming to it like it's like you're reacquainting yourself with an old friend, a great, good old friend that you haven't, spent time with. It's like you're coming home. Point two, pillar two, is sight. So pillar one is stillness, breath awareness, in a simple sense. Point two is sight. In this moment in time, keeping your eyes doing and navigating, doing whatever is important to have you navigate through your activity in the moment of experiencing this awareness, but bring that little bit of awareness to how does your sight feel? How does your eyes feel? And this is a very unusual inquiry. You know, if you're meeting this and you're quite active and it mightn't be fully available, you can bring a curiosity to it as well. But it's a very unusual awareness. Like, how do your eyes feel? Again, a part of your mind could be thinking, what the fuck? WTF? What's this about? This is bullshit. Well, here's the thing. Have you ever become aware? I was doing this guided practice in Heroic Husband's Men's Circle today, the Wednesday group, and I brought the guys in through this practice. And I asked him about the eyes afterwards, and we're like, oh, wow, you know, like there was a great awareness of some felt tired, heavy, others actually felt an ache in them, and definitely the sight, and it's not just the eyeball, it's your eyes and the sight, like the muscles around your eyes, your eyebrows, your forehead, the muscles just circling the eyes in at the side and underneath. You know, do you feel tension there? Even put your hand in your forehead muscles. The forehead muscles are very much like the furrow in the brow. It goes hand in hand with the eyes. Do you feel a tension or do you feel totally relaxed? Is there a quality of your eyes that's like pointed? It's super sharply focused. Or is there a soft, open-hearted gaze quality to it where it's like your eyes and your nervous system, it's feeding a full, beautiful awareness of your periphery. The peripheral vision is really switched on. You know, maybe this inquiry might be a bit strange and unusual and you're not getting a lot of conscious feedback, but just becoming aware of your eyes and why. Why would you bother? Well, think about this, reflect on this. I did it with the guys earlier on, and I have done it in one-on-one group. One-on-one work. But every man, without exception, can resonate with the following. In my experience thus far, maybe it's not going to be true for you, but trial it out for yourself. Have you experienced one of two? We'll go with the more extremes. There's 100,000 different flavors in between, but have you experienced moments? Mightn't be recently, and that's okay. You're here, you're listening in to become the marriage transforming hero. But have you at some time in your relationship, recent, today, or Lord darn it, it's like 15 or 20 years ago, but have you at some time, at some moments, had experiences of your queen glances at you and her eyes in that moment communicate like this intoxicating love? You know, it's just the glance of her eyes sends a sense of completeness, of expressed love, of homeliness, of wow, of awe, that you like, maybe you fell in love with in that moment. Maybe it was a look that just won your heart and then the love developed. Have you experienced a look, a glance, maybe once, maybe many times in the past, or maybe like when was the most recent look like that? That's like a sweetness, that her look communicated something that just brought you to presence, brought you to a feeling of, man, I was running away with, like I was in my head, I was stressed out, but boy, that look there now, oh, that was juicy. And maybe, no right or wrong in this, have you experienced the polar opposite of that? One glance from your queen that rocked you, that put the fear of God into you, that made you feel an instantaneous nanosecond later, a feeling of rejection, a feeling of judgment, a feeling of criticism, a feeling of being condemned, a feeling of feeling guilty, a feeling of, fuck you, you know, look at me like that. Have you experienced a look, a glance, where in just by her eyes and how her eyes were in that moment, have you felt the opposite? Where it's like, oh my God, when she gives me a glance like that, you want to blame her or you feel shame. You feel just, oh man, that is just like, that's so intense. That's so fucking uncomfortable when she looks at me like that. Have you experienced that? I have. I've experienced both. I love one, and to be honest, there's a part I don't want to get the other fucking looks. I really don't. My practice is to welcome the other looks as feedback, but hey, I'm human. You know, it's like Buddhist teachings at the base. We dislike suffering and we want pleasure. I want the other looks. I like the other looks. Life goes better. I got one of the other looks the other day when it was like my queen leaving, just gave me, shot me a glance, and it was like, oh man. I sent her a message like during the day. It was like, by the way, talking about, communicating about mundane stuff, and then it was like, by the way, add-on message. It was like, by the way, that look that you shot me just leaving the house this morning, that was juicy. That was beautiful. I want more of that, baby. That was gorgeous. It was one of those looks. So I'm imagining, like, that context is like, if we're in a room together, there's 1,000 men from around the world, all heroic husbands in deep, intimate relationships, wanting to experience pleasure and joy and good shit. Every single one of you, if you got down on one knee, if you did the marriage thing, I'm assuming that there were some looks that fucking communicated and evoked a response of, man, that feels good with your queen. And the opposite is true. Here's the thing. My imagination is that all of you are sort of smiling. Yeah, there's moments of sweetness and moments of a lot of laughter. Fuck yeah. The other type of look, oh, you know, the guys today, we're sort of laughing, but like in that heroically humble way of, yeah, I evoke those type of looks from my queen way too often. And that's okay. But if your queen's eyes has the power to do that to you, have you ever slowed down for one moment to think, wow, have I ever been mindfully aware of what my eyes are doing and what my eyes are communicating with my queen? Have I ever slowed down to think, what are my eyes feeling now? What are my eyes communicating now? What's the feeling? Are they heavy? Are they sad? Or what's the emotion? What are they communicating? Let's get mindful about my eyes. Maybe some of you have done that, and kudos to you for, you know, whatever practice, if it was intuitive or you've done some other practices, like, brilliant. The vast majority of men are like, no, I've never slowed down to think my eyes and the impact that they have. Your eyes, guys, are one of the most provocative human experiential connecting parts of communication. Your queen, guaranteed, if the reverse reflection is put to her, she's like, oh my God, the way he looks at me, like those moments when, oh man, I hate it. His eyes looks away. Oh, it's a knife in my heart. And when he looks at me really stern with a hard forehead and like judgmental face, like those eyes, one glance, it's like, I want to rip his fucking head off. But I also, behind the ripping his head off, impulse and anger and kickback is, I want to cry. I want to fucking break down and cry because that's the man I love. And look at the looks. Look at what his eyes communicate to me. And she will also have moments. The work here is to have more and more moments that you become aware of, man, my eyes are hard, they're angular, they're pointed, I've been on the computer all day, I'm at my phone, it's training my eyes to be super pointed. But I will practice bringing open-hearted, like, gaze to my queen that's softer. And if my eyes look away, I'll put them back on her softly and say, baby, sorry, my eyes looked away, I was avoiding you, I got distracted, I want to be present with you. Tell me more about your day as you open-heartedly gaze at her. Your eyes are so potent, guys. The process here today is slowing down to become aware of parts of your nervous system and parts of your body and how they potently communicate. It's only when you slow down to become present with them and aware that you can start empowering yourself to, from awareness, you can go, well, okay, if I'm aware that my eyes are sort of looking stressed or tightened up, they're spaced out, they're avoidant, they're super pointed, angry, with the furrowed brows, tension, that's not how I want to come in home. I want to bring consciously and soften them. But you need to be aware first. The third point is shape. Right now, as you're moving, maybe some of you are moving, some of you are if you're sitting, notice your posture. Bring some part of your awareness on your posture, on your physical body. Your shape signifies your posture and how your body moves, and more importantly, on a deeper level, how your body feels. Do you feel like a tightness in your jaw muscles? Classic points of tightness in the body, tightness in your jaw muscles, tightness in your forehead muscles, those eye muscles linked to the eyes and sight. Do you ever have a tightness or a pain or an awkwardness or stiffness in your neck going down into your shoulders? Classic. It's like the beautiful relief that's felt from a neck and shoulder massage, but that's tightness that's brought up because you're tensed up and hyper focused, A to B, always on the go, push, 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 because you need to. That's what a man does. But are you aware of what the pressures that you're putting on your nervous system are having on your body? Are you aware in this moment? Breathe deep, stillness, and be in your body. Even if you're moving, you're running, like, are there aches, are there pains that, like, are you aware of them? Because aches and pains and stiffnesses and tensions, they too communicate. But if you're not aware, if you have not come present in your body, like in this invitation to come and soften in, again, that's communicating a message. If you're tensed up, shoulders tensed, you know, as a result, you've had a tough day at work, your fists are a little bit clenched because there's just a tension in your body and you're not aware, you bet your bottom dollar within a nanosecond of coming in the door, your queen fucking knows about it within a nanosecond. And then she asks you, is like, everything okay, honey? You're like, I'm fine. She's not fucking asking you if you're okay. She's stating out loud in feminine language, dude, I can see a million miles away. There's tension, your clenched fist. I mightn't notice a whole lot, but in one snapshot, I know from just your shape and your eyes and subconsciously your breath work is tensed up as well. So shape, they all play a dance together. They're actually indivisible in the moment. But, you know, from your shape, you're communicating. One of the guys today in the men's group, he rightfully reminded everybody, he's like, sure, guys, isn't it key? Like 10% of communication is verbal. All the rest is body language. Tone of voice is the nonverbal. Body is a major component of that shape. So feel into your shape, feel if there's any tensions, if you're hunched over, if you're sitting, can you be a little bit more upright? And maybe if you're running, you know, can you bring a bit of flow to it? Can you soften into it and, you know, sort of prance a bit more like, you know, like a gazelle going through rather than stomping. I'm full of tension. I'm going to stomp. I'm trying to crack the earth open as I walk with every step. Bang, bang, bang. Can you get a bit more fluid and a bit more relaxed and a bit more, you know, Olympic gymnast like, or the tango dancer or elite level? I refer to Conor McGregor being a fellow Irishman, but like on his way to the top, man, do you know that loosey goosey sort of movement he used to do to freak people out? It's like, look at me. He did the funny rubber arm shit, you know, with his arms going around the octagon, because it was like, I am that loose. I'm letting you know there's zero fear in my body. I'm that loose. You have no idea what's going to hit you in like in 30 seconds time when we engage. Okay, that's a brain fuck in the octagon. But, you know, if you're loose in your body, that's your queen going, he's loose, he's relaxed, he's fine. And if you are aware that there's tension, like in this practice, maybe you're like, fuck, I haven't actually paid attention. My body, there is tension there. She's not looking for perfection, but part of that awareness in this journey together, that you're courageously and vulnerably coming along with me and with every other guy. We might be doing a clock time the exact same time, but there are hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of guys around the planet doing this week. Powerful men just like you, listening in because you want to know and experience whatever is necessary in your mind and your nervous system to open up your heart, to open up your queen's heart. But you can't open up her heart without opening up your heart. That's what leadership is about. That's what kingship is about. It's taking extreme ownership. If you can't get present, if you don't lean into this and start becoming aware of your nervous system, of softening your body. In men's work, we say strong spine, soft front. Soft front means presence, means embodied. You're soft. And if your heart, you're aware, and you bring softness, you're aware, you're like, baby, I'm just tension in my jaws, in my forehead, I've had a tough day, I'm aware of it, just want to let you know I'm aware of it. You know, you're going to be picking up on this. It's nothing to do with you, baby. I'm just chewing and stuff. It's just, it was an overwhelming day. I'm trying to come into landing. I'm just going to go for a jog and like loosen up. But I want you to know that I'm aware that there's a hardness there, that you're not feeling, that there could be some unspoken shit. Baby, there's nothing. It's just a simple thing. And if the tension is because of something that is unspoken in marriage, well, fucking speak it. Soften yourself first. I'm going to go for a jog and then we'll go for a walk when I'm feeling a little bit softer in my body. We'll have a beautiful conversation. Speak to your awareness. This is the practice of presence, guys. Presence isn't some fucking bullshit idea that is all pervasive out there in so many men that have done men's work. And it's this idea that presence is pull up the arse, radical stillness, I'm feeling nothing, thinking nothing, and I'll hold space for horror rationality from there. It's the polar opposite. It's like, yes, there's stillness, there's a strong spine, but you can feel the four horses of the apocalypse going through your bodily and nervous system experience, but you're not going to be fazed by that. That's presence. That's presence that's the greatest value to your queen. She's not looking for some perfection, some unfeeling fucking bullshit. Oh, I'm enlightened. Look at me. I'm not feeling shit. That's not presence. Presence is feeling everything that needs to be felt. Your own fears, your own inadequacies, the thoughts that come through your mind. Your inner critic, but you're unswervingly there. You're still. You don't lose structure. Your strong spine. You're there. And from there, you can fearlessly hold space for your woman's. She's her shitstorm, her grief, her thing. You can empathize. You can feel, but you don't. You're not frightened off it. That's the presence that your queen is looking for. So presence is not some idealistic bullshit mind-led idea of I need to be enlightened and fearless in the sense of no fears. It's to be fearless in the front of all your fears. It's like it's a dichotomy. But it's like Jesus went to the desert. A lot of you will have grown up, whether you're oriented in a religious practice or a religious relationship in organized religion with Jesus, but a lot of you will have come from that tradition. And statistically in Western society listening in, I have a deep connection with Jesus, not religiously, spiritually. I think he's was an amazing and still is an amazing embodiment of profound masculine practice. He went to the desert for 40 days, 40 nights to practice presence in the face of, you know, the devil. He met the devil in the desert. He overcame the devil. For me, I'm not saying it has to be your interpretation of teachings, but for me, it's like I feel he met his devil, which is inner doubts, his inner critic, his fears, his inadequacies, those human experiences in his human nervous system. He had a human nervous system. He met those and faced them and practiced presence to the point at which he met the desert, he met the devil inside his human experience so open-heartedly and so courageously that they sort of ceased to have any sway on his practice state of consciousness. Buddha the same, sat under the tree. Dude, let's sit here, let's face whatever comes up in my nervous system and practice presence. And as a result of meeting every single inner demon, devil, you know, call it what you want in Buddhist terms, the defilements of the mind, etc., etc., he got to such a level of presence that then it was called spiritual liberation, enlightenment. But what I'm saying, guys, is presence, whatever the teachings might be, interpretations, misinterpretations, I feel what works is presence is learning, you know, meditation. Presence is learning, the process of learning about your mind, the process of coming to know your mind. That's meditation, but it's presence. It's like you're fine with whatever comes up in your nervous system, whatever comes up in your body, in this practice, in this self-inquiry, wherever your eyes are at, they're at. Wherever your breath is at, you're at. You can meet. You can love and accept yourself and your nervous system going, well, isn't that interesting that my breath is like that today? Isn't that interesting that my experience of my eyes is like that today? Isn't that interesting that that mindfulness part in my eyes didn't make any fucking sense to me and my mind doesn't know what to think about it. And I'm like, I was really thinking of stopping this practice because it seemed like bullshit. That's okay too if your nervous system is saying that. isn't it interesting where my shape was at and my awareness or my lack of awareness, or I was feeling numb, I didn't have any feedback. Isn't it fine? Isn't it so interesting what your nervous system is communicating? And practicing being at one. Maybe some of you have like have inner demons coming up, and we'll deal with that in state and story. And can you be okay with that as well? This is the in the marriage arena practice of presence that I'm really wanting you to get an experience of and come home to in this episode, but bring it like the torch of this into your marriage, into your meditation, into your inner body experience, that you start practicing touching base with where your eyes are at, where your breath is at or not at, without any judgment, but just being mindful, going, oh, isn't that interesting? And, oh, my shape, where is my shape at? And always being aware. You're constantly transmitting a message through your pillars of presence or pillars of heart closure, because all of these have the counter polar opposite. Open-hearted shape and presence is upright, facing your queen, you know, no tension, hands relaxed on your laps, or you could be present and like a hand on her, of course, a hand on her heart, whatever, but it's an open-hearted shape. The opposite is clenched, facing away, looking at the clock because you want to escape. Two sides of the same coin. Becoming comfortable with getting present in your body is at the epicenter of your marriage transformation. You lean into this and you listen to this episode again and again, or once, and you take it to heart, or you deepen your spiritual practice, you deepen your meditation, your breathwork practice, you deepen how much you bring this awareness of the five pillars to your marriage, and you can flip that coin from, oh wow, my eyes are looking away, to, hey baby, my eyes looked away, there was avoidance. I'm sorry for that. I want to be fully present and open-hearted, gazing into her eyes, back to present. She doesn't want perfection. She wants presence and progress. Own your shit. Take the bullet out of the gun and put the gun on the table and the bullet beside it. That's owning your heart closure. As you become aware of what's happening in your body and realizing in the moment, I'm transmitting a message that probably isn't fucking safe. She's going to pick up on it anyway, but she's only going to feel hurt and rejection and misinterpreted and give me shit if I don't own it. If I don't say, baby, I'm aware of this. I'm breathing really superficial. I'm trying to breathe deep now. I'm aware of it. Point number four, the pillar number four is state. Stick with me, guys. This is one of those episodes, and because it's not information-led and it's not in the comfort zone of where your mind probably, statistically, the majority is more dominant, give me information, I'm an information junkie, might be more challenging to stick with this. So if you're circling back to us or you're sticking the course, I want to acknowledge you. Again, I'm practicing presence in my nervous system. In this moment, no part of me is in a rush to get to point four, point five. I'm in my nervous system. I'm aware. I'm having a lived experience with you. Clock time, of course, it's not the same experience, but my nervous system is aware. Okay, when every guy listens to this, in that moment, I'm having a human, very intimate relationship with him. My message, my presence or lack of, is going to have a corresponding effect and a response in his nervous system. Breathing deep and moment of silence, becoming more present in my nervous system to consciously make sure, to the best of my ability, I'm not perfect, but that my presence practice is not rushing you. Your nervous system can slow down and join me in this experience at a different time chronologically, but I'm speaking it live. The recording is live, and you meet me there like it is live for the deepest experience. Again, always leaning in vulnerably. The fourth pillar is state. This gets really into the juice. You know, the other ones, they're super potent and super, like, super powerful in their awarenesses in and of themselves. But it's almost like shape and our eyes, they're like the outer most obvious communicators of what? Of what's actually happening in our state, in our emotions. You know, the eyes feeling fear, feeling anger, feeling aggressive, those eyes, you'll sort of have a feel of what, how your eyes of your queen are when you're, when she's fearful, when she's criticizing, when she's against the wall and she's on the offensive, defending or like offending you. How are your eyes? You know, when you're feeling, what state, what emotions are you feeling? What's your inner state now? For some of you, the answer mightn't be obvious. But hang in there. Feel into your body. Maybe in your torso, in your head, neck, chest, tummy. Maybe that area is more obvious. There's the heart brain and the gut brain. And maybe even when you get into the practice of it, there can be emotional charges that are felt in the limbs. Place your awareness there, wherever you are, whatever the context that you're listening in. Again, stay present with what needs to your attention in your environment. But even if you're doing sometimes, again, podcasts, I've listened to podcasts as I'm preparing dinner. I was like, you know, kids are doing whatever, Matilda's late home and I'm there. You know, whatever the context, like in that moment, you're having a lived experience. You can be sure that there's some emotional charge. The word mightn't come there because maybe like me and like 99% of guys, the emotional disconnection in this profoundly sick society that you experienced growing up, that you have not been paying attention. Some of you maybe have in recent days, weeks, months, years, started paying attention. Wherever you're at, honor and love and know from me and from the culture in this podcast and in this movement, everything is loved and accepted in the moment as it is. That again is presence. So touch base with yourself. Feel, you know, it's like say it out loud to yourself or in mentally. It's like, you know, notice. It's like, oh, it's actually there's peace, or maybe it's, that's happiness. And does that feel? And trust your intuition. Like, don't overthink it. It's like, oh, I don't know how, like what emotions, what the feelings are. Trust your intuition. Stick a name to it. Stick a label to it. Get playful. Get provocative. You don't have to be too serious. Feel super relaxed. Well, maybe that's peaceful. Maybe that's joy. Maybe that's just happiness. Maybe it's confidence. Put a name to it. Maybe you're just glad. Or could there be hope there? Is there inspiration? I'm giving words, just like maybe over 100 words. I think I saw a list of 136 emotional states. It's like, fuck, I don't know, can I recognize like a quarter of those, to be honest? But it's like I have playful time doing it every day. Become aware of the energies. Maybe it's not an emotion, but maybe there's an aliveness. Maybe you're feeling a general aliveness in your body that you mightn't normally pay attention to. That's life force. That's energy. It's energy in your body. Emotion is energy in motion. So, you know, wherever you're at, placing your mindfulness there and paying attention and becoming curious to know more, to come in, that's presence. You don't have to have an answer that impresses. You don't have to have, oh, I've just noted like 7 different emotional charges in my body with exact pinpoint. That's where I'm feeling it in my body. Might be a simple, beautiful, profound, juicy, general acceptance of I'm feeling something. I'm feeling energy. It's there. I'm feeling alive in some points. Maybe there's no word that comes to it, only just a sense of an aliveness. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful, juicy feeling. And there can be in this point also, and I want to speak to this fearlessly, there could be exceptionally challenging emotional charges that you're feeling now because of softening in. I want to speak to that and say that's okay too. That's a victory. That might, when you get super restful and you take away the sedating effect of story, 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 think, do. Human doings, not human beings. When you be, when you're practicing being in the body, which is presence, man, a shitstorm of stuff can come up. And you don't have somebody there, maybe present to blame. It's like, oh fuck, I'm feeling this shitty stuff, so it's easy to blame you, bitch, for saying that thing, doing that thing, not doing that thing, kids for being worker, boss, whatever. Maybe you're just having a feeling by yourself, and so it's like, shit, I can't blame anybody. Oh, whoops. Maybe it's just a feeling of shame. Maybe it's a feeling of anxiety that's hiding in the background. Maybe it's accentuated. Sadness, grief, depression, doubt, worry, anxiety, etc. Frustration. Love it. Presence practices loving and accepting your nervous system and your body and your human experience, inner and outer, as it is. Don't give any resistance. And if there's resistance, notice it as an emotional state, not you. The presence of practice is notice the resistance. Go, ah, there's resistance. You are not the resistance. You're not any of these signs. These are signs. Presence is noticing that ultimately, and this is from the like deepest Buddhist teachings, peak performance teachings, the practice of presence, and this is where it's so uncommon and why this sort of an episode is so important. I'm really hoping I see like a lot of listens to this, and I hope you can come back to it. And I'm expecting it's of profound value for those of you with the courage to stick with it. The deepest part of the practice of presence is being fine and non-judgmental of anything that emerges and appears in your nervous system in the moment. Knowing on the deepest level, eventually, more and more, and eventually this becomes your absolute reality, that none of your thoughts, none of your emotions, none of what your eye is communicating, none of what your body is experiencing in the moment, none of your nervous system, none of your lived experience that appears in your nervous system, from your nervous system, is communicated through your nervous system as you in the moment. It's merely like a momentary burp of past conditioning that's coming out in your present moment. Even if it feels like really good in that moment and it's really calming and loving, well, does that mean that you're just this impeccable, calm, loving person? No, that's the burp. That's the temporary field of human experience coming through your nervous system. So don't get so elated of, oh, I've nailed it, I like had a great practice. If this is really relaxing, if it's soothing, that can be a good sign, especially if you're normally tensed up and you're having this lived human experience in your nervous system of, oh, this actually was relieving, was soothing to have another man meet me in this experience vicariously, and sort of by extension, knowing there's a growing movement of tons of guys around the planet that are entering this same experience like me, vulnerably, not knowing what to expect, but I'm doing the fucking thing anyway. What a beautiful thing. But maybe there's challenging shit coming up going, maybe there's resistance, maybe. This brings us into the final one, which is story. Story is the pillar of presence, becoming aware of where your thinking is at or not at. What's the mental chatter in your mind right now? Could be, and I provocatively go to this, it doesn't have to be, I sort of say it laughing, like, but it's, to be honest, like, sometimes when the mental chatter is judgment, it's like, when is Mark going to stop? Like, you know, just get me to pillar five. I want to get to the fucking end. I'm coming up to like my last stretch coming home. When is this going to end? Because your mind might already be going, I need to get in fucking home, or my jog is about to finish in 10 minutes. And if Mark keeps going, fuck it, I'm not going to get to end this. Or it could be, you know, why didn't I just press stop? I had the thought to press stop 5 minutes in. Why am I here 55 minutes later? Or the thoughts could be nothing about the practice. Could be thinking, okay, what do I need to do next? Or shit, a thought could come up about, fuck, did I turn the gas off when I left home? Did I lock the door? Did I leave that thing where it was meant to be, where my wife had asked, was that the right place? You have a doubt about it. You could be having thoughts about, this is the best, most transformative episode yet. All the other episodes are total bullshit compared to this. I wish Mark could and would do more of this. And you could, if you're having that experience, send me a voice message afterwards and go, Mark, more of this, please. or you could have any other thought, or you might have very few thoughts. It's merely to recognize what thoughts you're having and that you're having thoughts. More so that you're having thoughts, and to become aware of the funny phenomenon that it is that you just have thoughts. You know, this idea of like that to think is a verb. Oh, I just thought that. Really underneath it all, when do you consciously go, I'm going to shift from total inner silence. I'm an inner retreat center of solitude and stillness and silence. And alas, I am going to partake in the verb known to humanity as to think. I shall now wait for it. Of course, if there was this inner commentary, there would all be thoughts. But if in silence, if in your profound Dalai Lama inner stillness, you were like, now, and only now I shall perform the act, the verb, to think. And you produce a thought. I'm sort of smiling, I'm laughing. It's like, it's fucking bullshit. The whole thing to think. Sometimes I'm like, okay, now I'm going to recognize, I'm going to think about this issue now. Of course, the sometimes are intentional, but 99% of thoughts, are they not in your experience? Just they're fucking, it's like, it's just thinking. And you might go with it, but man, the first thought, the second thought, a lot of those thoughts, most of those thoughts, it's like your brain is just this non-stop thinking machine. Becoming aware of that is like your first step to becoming present, becoming conscious that, oh, my mind just learned to think tons early on. It wasn't always like that, by the way. Unless you had supreme pre-birth deep trauma, that could be a case. But like, before you had thoughts, before you had language, did you have thoughts? No, you had like an inner world energetic experience and communication with the world. So a lot of thoughts come after the verbal development in our human experience. So thoughts are not you. That's a profound awareness. Maybe you've read a bit of Eckhart Tolle, a bit of Buddhist, and your thinking brain goes, ha, huh, you know, I know this shit. Do you fucking really? Do you know it to such an extent that in the moment when your wife, your queen comes in and she gives you what your mind in that moment perceives is stinging feedback, when a gush of triggered protective patterning in your nervous system gives you in a nanosecond a gush of shame, a gush of rage, a gush of frustration, a gush of anger, a gush of aggression, a gush of grief, a gush of sadness, and within a nanosecond after that your thinking brain goes to blame or shaming thoughts, are you aware in those moments that those thoughts and those emotions aren't you? That you are conscious presence. You are consciousness, not the thoughts, not the emotions. That's the practice. When I didn't know I was not the thoughts and I was not the emotions, I assumed they were, if they're triggered, if I'm having that emotion now and my queen is just after saying or doing that thing, well, my printout of thoughts must be fucking true. I'll give out to her. I'll criticize her. I'll beat the shit out of myself because what she's telling me, I've fucked up again. So my nanosecond feeling of shame, which triggers my inner critic to go to town and kill myself and assassinate myself as a human being, as a man, as a lover, as a husband, as a dad, depending on the context and what was being said, it must be true. Those thoughts are true. Those thoughts are true. If it's happening in my nervous system, it must be true. And as I'm blaming her or shaming myself. Fundamentally, it's bullshit. And the greatest, again, the greatest presence, and this is why presence is at the epicenter of becoming the Mars transforming hero of your relationship. Guys, I say it time and time again. There's plenty of other podcasts out there to do 15 minute, like 10 minute, 15 minute, 20 minute, because why? There's this profound fucking bullshit in society of, oh, but the human attention span is like a goldfish. I actually heard my wife say the other day, a goldfish has more than the average human time span. It's like, oh, like, you know, hook pointed. You only have 5 seconds, or no, social media, like any video beyond 3 minutes, dude, they're not going to listen. Man, this is not the podcast for it. If the intensity of slowing down and listening into this is too much, Maybe if it was too much today, that's okay and you come back to it. But if you're listening in, presence, the practice of presence, relies upon being able to stay with a stimulus, to stay with an experience, to stay with this episode. A lot of my episodes that you're loving are long. There's a part reason. I'm like consciously training your nervous system to go, I'll stick with this experience for the duration of it. I can do that. I can be the outlier and the leader among an ocean of mediocrity and go, I can and willingly and voluntarily and courageously, wholeheartedly enter this experience. And wherever the episode brings me, the guest or Mark in the solo, wherever that experience brings me, I'll just trust that it's going to be of value for me and I will stick with it. You're an hour into this experience. Kudos to you, man. That's practiced presence. If you've stuck with this, there was information in it, but it was a different type of experience. I try to bring presence so you're in your body in all episodes. That's why I bring you in. I ask you questions. I know a lot of you said you love those moments because it becomes live, like I'm speaking to you, which I am energetically. This episode just brought it front and center. It's all about your lived experience. It is my expectation, if you're still here, I commend you, I acknowledge you for your courage and your tenacity and your open-hearted willingness to do whatever is necessary to become that marriage-transforming hero. If you've had the tenacity to listen and stick with this experience, boy, you're in the driving seat of a marriage transformation, I can tell you. For a fact, I absolutely believe in it. Because presence and becoming present and aware and mindful of all that's going on in your nervous system and learning to detach from any of that being you. It's just a momentary thing, an experience that your nervous system is spontaneously throwing up, that there's distance. Your conscious awareness looking on at all of these signs and from that detachment going, I don't have to follow that thought. That thought is blaming horror. That emotion that's driving that way of thinking, dude, if it's blaming horror, that's not a good thought to follow. No matter how convincing it seems and how righteous it feels and no matter how the entire body is like out to kill her, it doesn't fucking work. So presence is catching that and realizing, dude, it has never worked ever in your entire marital experience and in every other human relationship you've had to project blame and anger and aggression without any presence, without any ownership, and to have it work out to bring connection. Why the fuck would you do it? That's presence. Knowing, dude, no matter how much blame protected you growing up, it's not working out in your marriage, and it's presence that can haul your ass back and go, whoa, take a breath, shut the fuck up. Just because the thoughts are there and the emotions are there and my eyes are out with daggers and my body is tensed doesn't mean it's true and doesn't mean it's a good idea to follow it. No matter how much the devil on one shoulder is saying, dude, killer. Or maybe the devil on the shoulder is more all of that emotional cocktail is saying, kill yourself. I've been near suicide because of what deep intimate relationing brought up in my nervous system, literally near killing myself. Maybe some of you can relate. Maybe others, it's just like it's you just get deeply frustrated and it's so hurtful and it's so suffocating. But you wouldn't be listening in if it was all rosy daisy in the garden. There's a lot of blame. There's a lot of shame. Some of you will have different representations of that. The practice of presence as we come into landing as a collective incredible movement is being able to notice the five pillars. Oh, where my breath is at. That's evidence. That's a way. That's transmitting a message and catching it and deepening and bringing, shifting it from heart closure signs to presence. Shifting eyes from avoidant, aggressive, steely looking at her, stonewalling, looking at the ceiling to open-hearted, shifting to gaze. Because you know from presence, I don't need to follow that thing. That's destructive. My eyes acting a certain way, behaving a certain way, I need to shift it back to open-hearted. Because why? When I do, her heart opens. She feels safe. The same with shape. Bring it from heart closure. Presence goes, that's not a fucking good idea. Okay, let's face her. Let's sit closer to her. Let's unfold my arms. Apologize. Tell her, hey, baby, I just folded my arms. I'm aware of it. Not a good idea. It's old patterns of defensiveness. I want you to feel safe. Tell me more. Get curious about her. Your state. Tell her, baby, I just have a mad charge of anger there now. I want you to know you're gonna pick it up from my eyes, from my body language, from my tone of voice anyway, but I want you to know that I know. There is anger there, and hey, there's a lot of blame thoughts at this moment, but I'm curious. Tell me more. I need to hear more about you. She doesn't want perfection. She demands presence. She needs presence and progress. Presence makes it safe for her to feel safe, and then from there, you support her feeling seen and heard. And from then, practice of presence, you eventually tell her your truth, give her your feedback. But the practice of presence is what opens up her heart to be with you, because you're fully being with her. Do you get this game, guys? Presence is like the ultimate superpower for every single one of you. If you haven't had, if this is challenging, dude, that's life. That's the spiritual path. If it wasn't challenging, terms like no pressure, no diamond wouldn't be so fucking inspiring. And fall seven, rise eight. That's a major, mantra in Japanese culture. It's like we wouldn't have all of these terms that we use that we feel inspired for. It is intense, but the greatest victory, the awakening of your radical felt inner sense of limitless freedom inside your nervous system, inner world, comes from presence, from disconnecting that your thoughts, your emotions, all of that, you don't need to follow that ever, and you can choose a different path that leads to you feeling better, you feeling more loving, you feeling you can hold space for the hu your human experience, and then from there, your queen's human experience, and man, it's onwards and upwards after that. It's the ultimate power as a husband, as a man, as a father, as a human being in this human experience. Coming into landing. This is a core practice in heroic husbands, men circles. It takes presence and like 5 seconds of insane courage to get in that link and join. Apply to join heroic husbands, men circles. Those individuals, those collective group of men are transforming themselves. They're transforming their capacity to be present, and their marriages, without any exception, are all transforming for the better at a pace that is astounding to witness. They're immense kings. They're regular dudes like me. They're all regular dudes from a multitude of walks of life, regular dudes like you, and every single one of them had a fear before coming on, had an inhibition, had a fucked, what's this whole thing about? I don't know, but they went with 5 seconds, 10 seconds of insane courage. They booked that call, and their marriage and their inner world is improving every single time. None of them are dropping out. They love the experience. That is available to you, but only if you can get present long enough with the upsurge and the impulse of courage. In the podcast description, 10 seconds of courage. Sign up, make the call, and you will never look back, man. Sending my heart of love from a deep felt sense of presence and stillness, full open-hearted love to each and every single one of you, and honoring your courage, your willingness to do all of this work and to listen in and to tune in to what's really happening in your body. You are profoundly important. You are as powerful as any man that has ever lived, is alive now, and ever will live. You are that fucking amazing. I love that. I acknowledge that in you. Finishing with the mantra for movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an epic, beautiful, amazing, and present kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.